Lady that taught me this song, and just always speaks to me when we do things like this and we pause and just come alongside of people and lay hands on them. And this little Jewish lady taught me this song one time. It just goes simply like this: these hands are holy hands, he's given us holy hands, God works through these hands, and so these hands are holy. These hands are holy hands. He's given us holy hands. God works through these hands, and so these hands are holy. God works through your hands. When you touch somebody, when you love somebody, God's working through you. It's a good thing. Mark chapter 8, verse 27. Actually, this whole section goes together as about eight verses, but I'm only gonna deal with these four verses here. We're just gonna think about them deeply, I hope. Mark chapter 8, verse 27. Jesus went out along with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he questions his disciples, saying to them, "Who do people say that I am?" And they told him, saying, "John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, but others one of the prophets." And he continued by questioning them, "But who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered and said to him, "You are the Christ." And he warned them to tell no one about him. Let's process this. Let's process this today. I mean, you know, are you shaking your head back there because you're thinking that he ought to be telling, Elaine? Are you shaking your head back there because you're thinking, why did he tell him, don't tell anybody about me? And so we'll try to deal with that today here. But I call this the ultimate question. You've heard me, if you've heard me talk about this before, I think this is the ultimate question. But I hope to sort of give you sort of a fresh perspective on it today. The first thing that I want to do is just think back this through this passage of scripture. This has always been puzzling to me anyway, is when Jesus said to his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" Not that question, that's a good question, but it's the way they responded. Well, some say you're John the Baptist, and some say you're Elijah the prophet or anything. Was that really what they were saying? Or were they actually saying things like this? Because John the Baptist was a contemporary of Jesus. Those names represented something to the people of Israel. So I'm thinking that what they really meant to say, or what they were saying really, wasn't that he was literally John the Baptist, but he was an evangelist. He was another evangelist like John. You know, so some are saying you're an evangelist, Jesus. Others are saying that you're a prophet. Some are saying you're a good teacher. And then he turned it around and he said, "Well, who do you say that I am?" So I'm thinking that's really kind of the mystery behind those words that are there. When he says, "Well," because I don't think literally people were thinking, "Well, this is John the Baptist again." Only Herod was thinking like that, and that's because Herod was paranoid because he killed John. So, but I think everybody else were thinking in terms of the role that those people played when they said that. You know, so when their response is, "Well, what are people saying about me?" And so they started thinking that through. And that's kind of the place that I want to begin here. What do people say? And what I'd like you to stop for a moment and think about that. What do people say about Jesus? Where did you first hear about Jesus? From your parents? What was your first, I mean, how did you come to a place of, where did you begin to think about Jesus? Was it because you were exposed to a church and raised in a Christian culture? Or a semi-Christian culture. The phenomena that we exist in today in the world that we live in is that we have a whole number of families and that we are now relating to where people have not even heard about Jesus. They don't talk about him. But I think it's good every once in a while to back up and ask ourselves, when did we first hear about Jesus, and where did it come from? What was our first knowledge of him? I don't know that this sermon really ties together here today, but I just know that kind of I just have a lot of things cooking in me, and some things that I just sort of jumped to me. If you turn in your Bible, hold this place in Mark, and let me tell you a parable that Jesus gave in Matthew chapter 13, which describes sort of a journey for people. I like thinking about it. It just seems to fit in this whole idea. Jesus is walking with the disciples, and finally he turns to them and he says, "What are people saying? What are people saying about me?" And obviously he knew what people were saying. Why did he ask them the question? Because he wanted them to process it. He was trying to take them somewhere, so he wanted them to process it. But in thinking about this, this parable came to me. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid again. And from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had, and he bought it." Someone asked me about this parable this week. I don't remember who it was, but they were talking about it. Could this parable be kind of turned around on the other side, and could that actually be talking about God, that we're the treasure and we're the pearl? Well, I mean, the parables are huge. I mean, and yeah, they have almost an infinite applications. I don't think that's exactly what Jesus was communicating, but it's there. But here's the thing that really I speak about in terms of this idea. What are people saying about Jesus? And here's my thoughts about why this parable is, because there are two kinds of people in this world. There are those who stumble upon the truth. A man walking through a field finds a treasure. He wasn't looking for the treasure, but he stumbled upon it. In fact, I think there are some translations that put it, he just kind of stumbled upon the treasure. There are some people that stumble upon the treasure. And there are others that are seekers, a guy that's looking for pearls, and then he finds the pearl of great price. Two kinds of people. I would say that if you thought about your own life and your own journey with God, and your relationship with Jesus, where did it begin? Were you a stumbler or a seeker? Were you looking for him and then discovered him? Or were you somebody that was breathing through life that had no idea, and all of a sudden you stumbled onto Jesus? Got any stumblers here? You want to admit it? You were stumbling. You're just cruising through life, going your own way, and that old thing. All of a sudden, it's like, we got one stumbler here. Any others? Put your hand up high for a moment. Let me just look around. I mean, people that were raised in environments, and maybe you even were exposed to the church, but you were cruising through life, and then you ran into the wall. You heard the name of Jesus, or it came alive to you or something, and you stumbled into it. There's a whole world of people out there right now. A whole world of people around us. Some of them are stumblers, just like that. They're walking through a field, man. They're just looking at the beauty of the field or whatever. They're on their way. They're on a journey. They're on their way somewhere. And then they trip over this thing called relationship with God. And it's like, I'd never even thought about that. But the minute they find it, they realize this is worth more than anything that I have. The other people are seekers. How many of you know that you were seekers? You mean it's like somewhere inside of you there was an unrest and you were looking to fill that thing. Any seekers in here? Yeah, a lot of seekers, yeah. Stumblers and seekers. Those are the two kinds of people in the world that we have. There are some people that just, there's this thing inside of them that went from the time, the earliest time they can remember, there was a heart, there was a peace in them for God. There was something there, and they just wanted to know him. And when they finally were told about Jesus, the light went on the inside. When they heard about Jesus, they saw a movie. I don't know what it was. I can't remember a time in my life, and it's probably because of my parents raised me in the church or whatever it was. I can't remember a time in my life where I was just breezing through life and didn't think there was a God. In fact, I made a conscious choice. I know when I made a conscious choice to turn against him. And I knew it. I mean, I was about to do an act, and I remember it was at that act. I was a young teenager. I wasn't a young teenager. I was a teenager. Where's my new T-shirt here? Someone gave me this T-shirt here, so I'll share it with you. I don't know. Don't put that bag over your head. You can't breathe if you do that. No, I don't want you to do that, honey. Isn't that a great T-shirt? I suppose you all are asking, what does BBGG mean? How about that? Where will I wear that, Dale?
I'm not going to say.
That boy gone good. I don't know. But I remember, you know, I had a place in me for God. And I think that I even told my mother one time, I want to be a priest. I think I even told her that when I was too young to really know what I was saying. But I think I actually did that. But I remember my teen years when I was about to do something, which was horrible. But I remember it's like God and all that I knew about him flashed in front of me. And basically I said at that point, I remember I made a conscious decision. I said, I just don't care. I don't care. I want this so bad. I'm going to do this so bad. And I felt like something died in me. And it wasn't until a few years later when I was confronted with the love of Jesus Christ. And I realized that he loved me, that I kind of broke and had love. And my life has never been the same since. Seekers and stumblers. Some people stumble upon it, and some people seek him. But the fact is that, you know, once we are confronted with that treasure, what do we do? Once we find that pearl, what do we do? And so I want you to think about today. I want you to process. Well, where was it that you first learned? Maybe you're still on that journey and you're here today. Maybe it hasn't really come to life for you yet. So we live in a world, and this question is probably a very pertinent question. What are people saying about me, Jesus said. What are they saying? There almost isn't a day goes by that on the History Channel or on National Geographic or one of those, those learning stations or something, there isn't somebody saying something about Jesus. Teacher, religious leader, comparing him with all the other religious leaders as though he was just one of many. But that's not the ultimate question. What do people say is kind of a beginning question. But the ultimate question is when Jesus looked at his disciples and he said, what do you say? And see, that is the ultimate question, because nobody can answer that question for you. Only you can answer that question. And the fact is, there are a whole lot of people that are running around that have answers to that question, but they've never really landed on is this my answer, or is it the answer that I was told? And if you are really pressed on it, how do you know he is what you think he is? Well, because I hear it in Sunday, I hear it every Sunday in church, my parents told me, the disciples had to work that through, because in order to actually stand in a real relationship with God, you have to answer that question. Who do you say Jesus is? It's a question everybody must answer. But let me take this a little bit farther, which is where I felt like we needed to go today. Who do men say that I am? Some say you're a prophet. Some say you're an evangelist. Some say you're a great religious leader. Who do you say that I am? And Peter spoke up, and he said, "You are the Christ." The question everyone must answer. But that question is asked us every day in a variety of ways. It's a daily question. What I thought about was, why are you in church today? Because you were being asked a question. It happened before you even walked in these doors. Who do you say he is? That question will be asked you in every day in a multitude of situations. When you're driving down the freeway and somebody cuts in front of you, you may not hear the words, "Who do you say that I am?" But by the way you respond to that, you are saying who you believe Jesus is. When somebody asks you to skimp on a mechanic job, you're being asked a question, "Who do you say Jesus is?" Wherever you go, whatever you do, you are being asked that question, but it may not be in so many words as "Who do you say Jesus is?" But by your response, the way you are saying, either you are the Christ or you're just an important man. I can see the wheels are spinning. Tomorrow's tax day. How'd you do on your taxes? Did you come across any of those questions that you could have, you know, kind of written off a little bit more than you really needed to, or some questions that you didn't necessarily feel like you had to be honest with? Can you hear in that opportunity the question, "Who do you say that I am?" When my wife and I have a difficulty that we face, and she does something that I don't agree with, or I do something that she doesn't agree with, all of a sudden we are faced with a question, and we're living it out in our response. Who do you say that I am? You see, every decision we make in life really hinges around who we say Jesus is. Every decision. And the way you respond to that decision is how you are answering that question. See, the question is being asked us all the time. And that's why it's the ultimate question. Sunday rolls around. Are you going to gather with God's people and worship, or are you going to go out and play golf? Or are you going to, you know, is NASCAR having a special race on and I want to watch that, you know? Or what is your answer to that question, where will you be on Sunday morning, is an answer to who do you say I am? Only you can answer that. And it's a daily question. It's a daily question. when somebody comes up to you that you're irritated with or you don't want to deal with, you know, and the way that you choose to respond to them, who do you say I am? See, that's a big question. Are you getting it now? Are you beginning to get that this is about life and how we live life? And the way that we respond to that question, the way we respond to life, is our answer to that question. Don't ever think that you can have Jesus as just some sort of intellectual belief, but it has nothing to do with how you live your life. It has nothing to do with the daily decisions that you make. It has nothing to do with how I relate to my children or my wife or my job or the people in the grocery store or the people at your... It has everything to do with it, but it's an answer that's bigger than just saying, well, just some intellectual process. It's an answer that's made in the decision and the way you choose to act out. Who do you say I am? Do you get that? It's not just in being good or not just in being bad. Sometimes the decision isn't about real moral questions in terms of whether I'm going to act truthfully or whether I'm not going to act truthfully. It might just be with laying down our lives for somebody, with doing something that we don't necessarily want to do. But when we get ourselves out of the way and we do what God asks us to do in that moment, we're saying you're the Christ. Maybe it's a long way around the bush, you see. But sometimes we need to go a long way around the bush in order to wake up to what our daily processes are. Every time we pick up the Bible and want to know more about God, what we're saying is you're the Christ. All right, so this is a simple question. It's a simple process, and actually, in the next when we continue on this passage, which would have taken us a little bit longer, you'll see how all of that fits together and what he's really asking us to do. But the fact is, today I just want you to think about, who do you say Jesus is, and how did you arrive at that, and how is that being lived out in you? Who do you say He is? There's one other thing in this passage. Let me just read it again. And then Jesus went along with his disciples in the village of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he questioned his disciples, saying to them, who do you say that I am? Now, obviously, just go back to this and just realize, why is he asking this question? He's seeking to draw something from them. He's seeking to draw something from them. He's got to ask that question for them. He knew. He wanted them to process it. Who do people say that I am? They told him, well, John the Baptist, and others say Elijah. With others, one of the prophets. And he continued by questioning them, but who do you say that I am? And right now in your hearts, what is your answer? And why? Who do you say that I am? Well, Peter answered, of course, and he said, you are the Christ. And then there's this strange deal. And he warned them not to tell anyone. That ever puzzle you? Thanks for being honest, Greg. Does that puzzle you at all, Randy? If he's the Christ, why in the world wouldn't he want him to tell the world? And I think that this deserves some thought. What did people expect the Christ to be in the time of Jesus? What, Rusty, you're mouthing some words there. What did he expect? What did the world in which Jesus came expect the Christ to be? A king.
Earthly king. Right.
An earthly king. A ruler. Their idea of Christ was totally tweaked. Their idea was the best that this world has to offer. It was still couched in worldly things. But their idea of what the Christ was Caesar, except good. A good king, a good president, you know. I mean, the leader of the world, God come to conquer evil and physically conquer evil and set up a new kingdom in which we would all live happily ever after. So their definition of the term was kind of tweaked. And so Jesus told them, don't tell anybody, because the time yet, the context wasn't set for anybody to understand what they meant when they said, Jesus is the Christ. One day, one of the Gospels tells us that when Jesus fed 5,000 people, at the end of that, they wanted to take and make him king. You remember that? And they were going to take and make him king. And it says that he hid himself and got away from the crowd. Wasn't he supposed to be king? He's the Messiah. I mean, isn't that what you want? But the fact is that he didn't. He came to die. He came to do something totally misunderstood by this world. And in fact, when Jesus was dying on the cross, his disciples went through a huge issue because their whole worldview about who Messiah was and what Christ was supposed to do was being challenged right in front of them. And they went away dejected. They went away thinking, we thought he was the Christ. Now we don't know. Have you ever wondered why, when you read the Ten Commandments, that God said, don't make any image of me? I mean, really, you're supposed to make any representation, anything that represented God. When we've been reading through the Old Testament, you remember the mercy seat? You know, there's the ark, and then there's these two cherubim that are on top of there that are facing one another, and this place called the mercy seat, which was the representative of where God was, had nothing there. It was blank. It was empty. Don't put anything there. Because our tendency is to build idols. We all have an image of what God is like. We all have an image of what Jesus is like. And when Jesus looked at his disciples, when they finally, they're working through this process. They weren't done yet. They didn't really understand what it meant. Peter didn't understand even what it meant to say, you're the Christ. But as they're working through this process, Jesus is revealing himself and that whole thing. And you better believe that the Jesus that they understood when they're standing in front of him and he says, what do you say I am, was not the Jesus that they landed with a few years later. It's a growing thing. So listen, the time will come when we are to tell people he's the Christ. But make sure that we don't tell it to them in terms that they don't understand. One of my favorite images lately is this picture. Comes from Mark chapter 4, but let me just read it to you, because you'll get it. The kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. And he goes to bed at night, and he gets up by day. And the seed sprouts and grows, how he himself doesn't know. The soil produces crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. But when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Jesus is leaving Caesarea Philippi. His disciples are walking with him. And finally, you know, Jesus turns to him and says, one of those intimate conversations, who do people say I am? And they're going, well, man, we've heard it all. Some think you're a great evangelist. You know, some think that you're a prophet. And some think you're just a good teacher, you know, like Moses or like all. And then Jesus finally stops him and he looks at him and says, well, who do you say that I am? And Peter speaks up. You're the Christ. I'm not sure he understood what he was saying. Then Jesus turned and looked at him and said, listen, don't tell anyone. If I can paraphrase that, because the time yet, this has not worked its way into you yet, and it hasn't worked its way into them of what that means. But the time will come when the Spirit comes upon you, and then you'll proclaim it to the world. Work in partnership with God. All spiritual truth grows in us in that way. Gary talks about tithing earlier today and his idea of giving. A seed was planted in him and it began to grow. He didn't really understand, but when a time came and he was confronted with that truth, it got to a point to where the context was right, the ground was right, the seed was ready to burst forth, and then he woke up to it and went, oh yeah. Do you understand? That's how Christian growth happens. Just like that. I want sometimes like the little boy who wants to open, you know, the butterfly and help it out. And you remember that story where the guy, he's watching the cocoon, he's seeing it struggle, and so he tries to help it out and the butterfly dies because he didn't realize that part of the process of the growth of that whole thing was the butterfly fighting against to get out, that strength in its wings, and it was part of its process. And sometimes we get so impatient with people or even with ourselves that we don't let God, you know, bring the soil right, bring the seed to the right point to where now it's going to grow and now it will be what God wants it to be. And so we try to force feed people, or we even try to force feed ourselves instead of trusting God that he'll bring that forth. So, who is Jesus to you? One of those questions I just want you to think about today. And every decision that you make today, tomorrow, the way you treat people is the answer to that question. Let's bow our heads, please. Lord, there's a room full of people here. Each one of them has a unique and special journey with you. God, you treat each one of us as individuals, not as some just group. And you're at work in each one. But I pray that today, that a revelation, an understanding of who you are would grow in each one. Who you are to them, not just what the church says, not just what we are proclaiming, but who you are in their lives. God, for those that have never really been able to say, you are the Christ, like Peter, For those that have never been able to really say that, I pray that today you would wake them up. For those that are on a journey and have stumbled upon a truth, Lord, help them realize the value of that truth and make it the center of their lives. Who do you say Jesus is?
You are the Christ.
Is there anyone who needs to say that today? Just stand to your feet. If you need to say that today, it's just in your, and you need to say that. You're the Christ. Just stand to your feet.